Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price, Rob, Bruh, Migos Podcast is back. And today, we're going to talk Super Bowl predictions. We got to talk Super Bowl because you know it's coming up. We got to talk MLB. Rob says I love you to the Blue Jays. And we have to talk about bandwagon fandism and a little bit of NBA purgatory power rankings alone. With a devastating UFC knockout that happened early this morning. Today, Bruh Migos Podcast. What we got to do, Rob?
We got to hit that music, my boy.
4, 3, 2, 1, go. Rob, before I ain't even going to do the Super Bowl startup. Look here, y'all. Y'all about to make Rob go off, okay? Because listen, we read the comments. We interact with y'all because we want to interact with our community, okay?
You, the customer.
And the other night after I posted a few clips, it was one clip in particular that a lot of y'all did not take too much of a liking to. Mm-mm. Well, it was an argument that y'all wanted to have in the conversation with Rob. And this was the clip about Eli Manning going into the Hall of Fame, okay? And it was some of y'all who were saying he beat the GOAT Tom Brady twice in 2 Super Bowls. That's enough. That should qualify him. And I think my partner Rob here must disagree with you again. Rob, go ahead and take it on.
So look, I get y'all trying to basically do this whole argument of, well, he beat the GOAT twice. That makes him a Hall of Famer. That should make it in. Bullshit. I can't look. Like I was telling before the show, I need to stop cursing. I need to make it a resolution to stop cursing because we want to expand our reach. We want to make sure your fam, your granny, your little cousin that basically just want to know about sports. We want to make sure we expanding out to them. But on this fucking day, on this fucking argument, I am not gonna fucking have that. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing with y'all. Y'all want to basically say a 4-time Pro Bowler should basically make it into the Hall of Fame. 4 times. That's it. 1, 2, 3. That's it. That he didn't do anything. No All Pros. No MVPs. Super Bowl MVP twice. That's good. I'm happy for him. He got 2 rings for that. He got his little memento. But the fact of the matter is, y'all basically trying to make this whole kind of, oh, well, he beat Brady twice. That should mean so much. That should mean like this. That shouldn't mean shit. Because the thing about it is, the Hall of Fame is a career achievement. His career was mediocre. His career wasn't much up to snuff as these other quarterbacks. And somebody in the comments put in Troy Aikman and basically tried to make that point. First of all, I probably wouldn't have voted for Troy Aikman in there. And I'm fine with that. I'll make amends about that. But when I look at Troy Aikman's career, that man played 12 years, made this Pro Bowl 6 times. So you know what? The fans and the people said that that man is one of the best quarterbacks in the league in his time, half his career. At least I could do that clip. Because I could do, you know, 1 album, 10 years, Nick. I could divide like fucking Hov said. I could basically divide 4 into 16. What's 4 into 16, dog? What percentage is that? What percentage is that, dog?
4 into 16 is only 25%.
25 damn things. That ain't 25. 50. That's a ultra F. That man, Manny, did not do a goddamn thing in this league when it comes to quarterback play. He played those, he had those 2 Super Bowl runs. That was great. He didn't win a playoff game. It wasn't part of a playoff team in no other time. Okay? So don't even give me that shit about, okay, this is what he is. This is what this has to amount down to. And then also, for y'all that know you don't, that know Eli shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, y'all having this defeatist attitude saying, well, he's going to make it in because it just, you just know it's going to happen. Stop trying to rely on that. Having this defeatist attitude on, oh, well, he's going to make it in, so we should just accept it. Don't accept it. We have standards. You are a man. You are a woman. You can make a decision and not have to stand for stuff like this. You are standing idly by as injustices happen to a great place in Canton, Ohio, where legends are made and legends are kept. You want to basically accept that? Why? For what? What reason do you have this? What do you reason do you have to basically accept something like that? You can stand with me, with Nate, with all the people behind us as a coalition against injustice of the highest manner. You don't have to accept this shit. You don't. You really, really, really don't have to do this. This is out of character for me. This is completely out of character for me. I don't care enough about shit that don't pay me. And this podcast yet does not pay me enough to yell in my house. But the fact of the matter is, when I see shit like this, I am irate. I am out of my mind. Because the thing about it is, Eli Manning, I don't care what you say.
11th pass yards for his career.
But then, I don't care, dog. He was an absolutely mediocre quarterback at best in the time that he was quarterbacking. There was no time in the time that he was quarterbacking that you could say unequivocally that he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You had Manning, Brady, all these people, Roethlisberger, Rivers. He ain't even the best quarterback in his draft class. He ain't even the second best quarterback in his draft class. And he was number one. The number one pick. And he wasn't even that. Okay? He wasn't even, if you could do it all over, he probably wouldn't be the number one pick in his draft class. So how are you going to tell me that he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league? How are you going to basically say that? Fix your face and basically say that shit to mine, to his, to anybody that want to hear this shit. Who you going to do that? How? Bring up names. Motherfucker said, what about Aaron Rodgers? I don't even want to dignify that shit with a response. That shit is still sitting there in the fucking YouTube comments. Basically sitting there stewing like a bad fucking baby's diaper. Just stinking the whole fucking section. Because Aaron Rodgers, not even dignifying that. Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer. I don't care what y'all say. I don't care what you do. I don't care what argument you're trying to make. You don't have one. Stop it. Get help. Do something else. All right? Get better about your life and be better about what you see and the decision that you make and what you stand by. If you want to basically do some shit like that, stop it. Stop it.
Rob had to stand on business with that one for y'all. Y'all were out of hand. And we read the comments and we see what you guys are saying. Like, he's not. And just for, you know, reference, you can go to Pro Football Reference. And you can see, yes, he has four Pro Bowls. Yes, he has two Super Bowls with Super Bowl MVPs, okay?
And he was Walter Payton. Yeah, he had the Walter Payton Man of the Year. That's two.
But what year from 2004 to 2019 was he the best quarterback in the league?
And let me bring this up too. Geno Smith would probably be the Giants quarterback right now and should have basically had that job because Eli Manning was stinking up the goddamn place, but they were so damn heartbroken that they basically did away with his streak, even though he was stinking up the place before that. So they had to take him out and then fired the coach that basically took Eli out and had the courage to stand on business and say, this motherfucker's not up to snuff, because some people basically got up their own asses and basically let Eli Manning stink up their franchise for two extra years. But Geno Smith had to basically fall. This is Black History Month. First of all, I'm bringing up that point. Wearing this Outkast shirt. Yes, that was another thing. Because the thing, you know what? I'm off of it. Because we got a whole show to do and I could basically be on that. Engines revving everywhere. Like, I will basically stop it here and I will leave y'all to basically go in the comments to tell me where I'm right. Because you can't tell me where I'm wrong.
This is a challenge. For those who believe that Eli was that dude at some point, put the year that he was the best quarterback in the league in the comment section.
Top five.
Just let us know.
Top five.
Yeah, top five.
I'll give you a chance.
Five. Tell us when he was top five in the league. What year was it? Put it in the comment section. We want to know. We've been watching football for quite some time and never have we ever seen Eli as a top five quarterback.
Inquiring minds want to know. And you know what, guys? Here's the thing. Y'all can see that I'm already like hype about this, but this drains me. And you know what I need when I'm drained? Dubby. D-U-B-B-Y. I need some Dubby to keep my energy up. So I'm going to take a swig of this because I basically added some Dubby to my water bottle. I'm going to need it basically for the rest of this show because Dubby.gg. Get you some Dubby, get you some energy so you can basically fight off the people that's trying to basically put Eli in the Hall of Fame. Like me, I need you to basically go there and I need you to use Bramigos Pod. Migos Pod. When you basically do that, when you basically are going to get you some energy and get you some motherfucking savings with 10% off on us, for you. Because the thing about it is, we love you, the customer, and they gonna love you too, and you gonna love their product. So go get you some Dubby and get you some energy and fight these devils.
Exactly. Now, with that being said, from you guys loving and trying to put Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame to you guys hating up on me and the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? So, first of all, Rob, let's go ahead and do our Super Bowl predictions. I'll go first. I am picking this to be a somewhat high-scoring Super Bowl, okay? I'm thinking 34-27, my Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes three-peating and Travis Kelce possibly riding off into the sunset after this one. I feel like if Travis wins, gets this one, he's going to ride off. He's going to go be with Jason. He's going to go do their podcast and stuff. Noah Gray and other guys that get to step into that slot and try to help Patrick Mahomes further the legacy of the Chiefs. That's how I see this going down. February 9th. In the great city of New Orleans, the Big Easy.
Love New Orleans.
That's how I see this going now. What do you have?
So I can't say a score. If I give a score, I basically say 17 to like 14, and I give it to the Eagles. Because the Eagles, I think, I go with 17-7 Eagles. Yeah, so I'm basically saying like that. I think that this Eagles team is really playing on fire. I think that they are really good right now, have the best roster right now, and are playing elite ball on both sides. Granted, Jalen Hurts has basically been up and down, but I think that with the skill players that you have, I think that there's so much that Kansas City can do. Even though Kansas City does have a great defense, there's only so much they can do to basically withstand them, and I think that defense that they have with the Eagles right now is really playing absolutely well. And I think that basically this is going to be a great game, even though I'm saying 17-7. Like, I think it's going to overall be a great game, but it's going to be played. And yeah, these teams are going to basically go at it, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Now, with me going back to me saying that you guys hate on Kansas City and them winning, why are y'all really that mad about Kansas City winning? Me and Rob just had to discuss this. It's a lot of y'all still on this Xavier Worthy catch that he didn't catch the ball. And some of y'all with Josh Allen made the first down, but he didn't. He crossed, the ball didn't cross. And for all of y'all saying, Xavier Worthy, the ball hit the ground, that's not the rule. Let's clarify what the rule is, Rob, because it seems a lot of people don't know what the rule is.
Yep.
The rule is not about the ball touching the ground. The rule is the receiver having steady control of the ball that he's caught with his two hands. He can catch the ball. Xavier caught the ball. His body hit. He's still holding the ball. Ball touches. Ball never moved like that. But some of y'all are on your high horse about they cheating. They rigging it. They done rigged the NFL.
They ain't cheating. The game is cheating.
Josh Allen should have won. They rigged the game. Didn't we talk about this last week? It's 32 owners in the NFL. You think that they gonna rig it for one person?
What?
You think 32 people who own 32 billionaires are gonna be mad and say, well, you know, we're gonna rig it this year for Kansas City to win a third one in a row?
For that one team.
Yeah, for that one team, you know.
Because they ain't gonna want it for themselves. No, golly, no. Exactly. They ain't gonna want, the NFL is not, the other owners are gonna be like, oh, well, I shouldn't be the winner. No, they should be the winner. No. These motherfuckers got egos too.
Do you know how big a billionaire's ego is? Have you not seen Elon Musk? Have you not seen Jeff Bezos? Do you think one of these billionaire owners is going to let somebody tell them the commissioner who they pay him? He don't look. There's not another entity not just out there feeding him money. They pay him as a collective, which I think he makes $5 million or something like that.
$50 million.
So you mean to tell me they're going to let a guy rig it for one team and a coordination of what we got, 32 NFL teams,
mm-hmm,
at 17, 18 games apiece.
Well, yeah.
On bye weeks, that we're going to rig out enough games for these guys to win.
I'll even go a step further. You think they're going to rig it for that team? And I'm not even gonna put it like, oh well, you know, they racist, because they are. But it's like it's the thing about they've been wanting Josh Allen to be the dude for a very long time. They've been wanting that man. You see, even though he is absolutely, and we've talked about it in the archives, if you want to go check it out, that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he has a very legitimate case to be the MVP this year.
Yes,
and
he does.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he won it. But the thing about it is they've been wanting that man to be the MVP, to be the guy. And you think they're going to rig it for another team just because some niggas dating Taylor Swift? No, bro. No.
I'll go one even further, Rob.
Go further on.
That Lamar Jackson, the guy who they've put on a pedestal, who's won the MVP, who they had to come out and say the other week, eventually he's going to break. You think Baltimore wouldn't be up there on the front steps telling the commissioner, hey, when you going to write this script for him to get one so we can cash out on this? We didn't have the MVP. You think that they're not going to do that?
Exactly.
You think that they're not going to do that? Hell, one even better. You think that they wouldn't have rigged some sort of fantasy Cinderella run for Cincinnati to get into the playoffs and then make a run and win this?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wanted? Come on now. A lot of y'all have this weird ass theory of the game is rigged. The game can't be rigged. The best WWE team of writers couldn't go out there and write for all of them games every week.
Nope. Y'all gotta come up off it, dog. Like, it stopped being funny a while ago. It's like the jokes have basically been ran through and ran on. It's the same shit just basically every day. It's like we eating the same, like Roman Reigns said, it's like missionary over and over.
There you go.
It's the same thing, dog. Every
time. Be real with yourselves about what's going on. These guys can't rig this. Hell, you think that if they rigged it, Carolina wouldn't have won back in the day whenever they went 15-1? Or Brady wouldn't have completed the perfect season?
Right.
And going 18-1?
Right.
Come on, though. Just be beside yourselves. Be beside yourselves and just look at it and say, look, it's not rigged. It happens like this. Do mistakes happen? Yes. Sometimes do they make bad calls? Yes. Those two calls were not bad calls. One was a catch. One wasn't a first down.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it. Your team will be back next year if they play good, okay?
Yep.
Get over it, bro. Now, moving on. MLB. Rob, I feel like we're about to go down a rabbit hole of something that maybe some teams in the MLB might start doing. But I'm going to let you go ahead and start it with the statement that you have for Toronto. Go ahead and let them know how you feel.
So Toronto, they might say different, but the six, I'm not the six God, but I love you. Because the thing that y'all doing is something I can very much get behind. Because if y'all wasn't aware, Toronto Blue Jays this week just signed a Max Scherzer to a 1-year, $15 million deal. Now you saying to yourself, who is Max Scherzer? It's cool. You don't know. Get familiar. To people that know who Max Scherzer is, pride of St. Louis. Well, no, he didn't grow up in St. Louis. He was in Missouri somewhere. But Missouri native, Max Scherzer, basically is one of the best pitchers that's played, and he's basically on a deal that's going to basically be, it's almost like an expiring contract. But it's a deal that basically can be lucrative for the team itself when it comes to the trade deadline, when it comes to, like, you know, as the season goes, because that 1 year, 15 mil is basically like, that could be this many prospects, this many prospects, this many prospects down the line. And so I think when it comes to, like, what the Blue Jays are doing, they're basically being vibes. They're like, you know what? We're going to sign you. We're going to bring you in. And basically, if you well for us, say it goes 10-5 with a 3.3 ERA. Yeah. Somebody's going to come calling. A contender is going to come calling, and they're going to come calling with prospects. And you basically have that right there. Or let's say something happens and you are one of the best teams in baseball. You Blue Jays, you basically do something to basically piss off Nate's Red Sox or the Yankees or the Orioles. Now you have an ace in the hole that goes along with Jose Berrios and Kevin Gausman. Now you have something with you that basically you can use for your benefit. And it's only 1 year. I love that y'all are doing this because it's one of the things, it's like competitive tanking. Because the thing is, you're signing them, it's only $15 million. If it works out, it works out. If it don't, it don't. But it's the thing of, if it does work out and you guys are losers anyway, then you got a trade piece that you could basically give up for prospects. I think teams should really do that instead of just basically saying, oh, woe is me. What am I going to do? We need to basically have a failure of a team, like, you know, Miami. Now y'all got something that y'all could basically rely on. And y'all could basically say, all right, if this doesn't work out with him, now we could just trade him for somebody else. We'll basically give up a spot and basically do something. That's what I love. Please do that, teams. Go out, find these diamonds in the rough. Buy low, sell high. Just do it. Just go ahead, do it. Because the thing about it is, at least we could see guys that's still in the league and basically be part of either contributors or basically is like, all right, here's your swan song. But it's basically not just let's leave these guys out on a whim and let's leave these guys that basically may still have something in the tank just out there. No, man, sign these dudes and actually try to have pieces that other people might want and will try to go get. So then it basically leaves a competitive balance within the league. Toronto, thank you for doing that. I love you. Sign Rob.
Competitive tanking. I like it, though. I like it. It basically is competitive tanking, but you're trying to make a push to be somewhere else. Correct. You're trying to turn a little bit of something into something better than what I already have.
Correct.
So I'm with it because the Blue Jays said that they aimed high. They wanted Soto. They wanted Corbin. They wanted Max Fried.
They wanted everybody. Shohei. Yeah. They were looking
they
for Shohei.
They wanted Sasaki. Yeah. Look, I'm going to be honest with you, Toronto. I'm pretty sure me and Rob said this. I don't believe you, but I kind of believe you. I feel like you made a half-ass effort, and you didn't really make a real effort. So I believe that what you wanted. I believe what you wanted. But I don't believe you really made a push for this because we saw teams like Boston do presentations and we saw teams like the Mets. And I want to even say your Cardinals tried to make a swing at it at one point.
They said some shit. Yeah.
Teams were making presentations. I feel like y'all kind of said, let's do lunch. Mm-hmm. And kind of talk about this, and we even do high-end lunch. I feel like we did, like, Chili's, and everybody else was, like, the fine dining establishment, and y'all were like, look, we gonna take Juan to Chili's and show him, you know, Chili's in Toronto is fire, bro. You might like this.
You never had Chili's like this. You might be skeptical, but... like something like that.
Yeah, and Juan was like, nah, I don't want Chili's. Y'all don't have no fine dining establishment? And they were like, nah, but we do have this. Hooters is down the street of you. And it didn't work out. That's why I said Toronto, I understand, but I feel like y'all have this thing about y'all because y'all were gifted another set of athletes from the fathers that played there. and got these kids off of that strength. And I feel like y'all hoping that all of that at some point just goes to the ceiling and y'all make like a World Series run, but you need more parts than just those guys.
Yeah.
It's not happening like you think that it's going to happen. Like we said, the Dodgers are the biggest, look, as much tax evasion and money maneuvering gets done, y'all have to applaud whoever's doing the books for the Dodgers. Because he figures out how to get it done.
No. I think we talked about this, but
I think we did.
They have $330 million to play with every season.
Yeah.
They got a 25-year, $8 billion TV deal. They literally have $330 million to play with every single season. That's what we basically is. It's really not bookkeeping. It ain't voodoo. It's just cold, hard cash. That's what these niggas got.
Like, they bagging up the Brink trucks in L.A. all the time. They bagging up them Brink trucks.
Because they can. They've been signing every goddamn reliever you could think of. Every one of them.
You know what?
It's wild.
You know what, Rob? They might try to go back to back.
They probably will. I honestly... It's like, I always, when in doubt, I always say playoff baseball is going to be playoff baseball. But these motherfuckers got too much. It's way too much.
Even though my team isn't in the running, Rob, you know what's going to make me sleep good? Knowing that Steinbrenner is having nightmares over there. They over there signing everybody to wake up and piss in his cereal come playoff time.
Dog.
That's what warms my heart. Knowing he ain't gonna see it as long as Magic Johnson and that team that they got over there is calling shots and making money.
Mm-mm.
He not gonna get it, bro.
Nah.
And for years, them suckers would win with them. They would win a checkbook. And then all of a sudden, it was, oh, look how the tides have changed. And to lose to the Dodgers. You didn't go out early. It was West versus East.
Mm-hmm.
It was Yankees versus the Dodgers. Two of the most historic franchises. And to go out there and lose like you lost. And then for them to turn around during the offseason and say, wait, there's more. They pulled the Billy Mays on their goddamn ass. They pulled the Billy Mays.
They only got better.
And said, wait, we gonna sign a 23-year-old prospect and we're coming out here and we're looking to win again, man.
Man. It's
it really is. It really is. But like I said, warms my heart, the Steinbrenner, his coffee is gonna be cold, even whenever it comes fresh out of the pot. It's gonna be cold. Cause he gotta look at Dodger Blue and he gotta know. They can mess this up for me at any time. And the other teams coming up. He has to be on the watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is going to be good this year.
I cannot wait, dog. I cannot wait.
Now, speaking upon our fandom for our teams, Rob, I think that you wanted to kind of talk about this a little bit. Bandwagon fandom is underrated.
I'll be honest. It's like, I didn't even think about this until like the other day. And I was like, if I could do it all over again, I probably would have been a bandwagon fan. And here's why. Because the thing about it is like, you could always go coast to coast, keep on going. And granted, I used to come out against bandwagon fandom and say it was like the scorch of the earth, all those kind of words, whatever. But then I thought about it. To basically be a bandwagon fan, it's just have fun. And granted, you're kind of a hoe. And that's really what it comes down to. You just basically go, you go from spot to spot. You're a bopper. Like, you just basically go from spot to spot to spot to spot. But overall, you ain't got no pain, dog. You ain't got to feel no hardship. You ain't got to basically see the losses that me and Nate have taken over the years. And how it basically just hurts. Y'all know it too. Like, because y'all fans of teams that probably suck too at times. Because I'm a Vikings and Cardinals fan. I know some high highs and some low lows. And so I basically, if I could do it all over again, I probably would have been a bandwagon fan. Because, you know, you got cats that basically are fans of players. Like we know, you know, one of our homies is a Kobe's fan. Shout out to Vizky.
Yep.
He stayed with the Lakers, but, like, he was a Kobe fan, and that was mainly it. So if Kobe moved, he probably would have been a Clippers fan like Kobe had tried to basically do. But overall, it's like being able to just have fun and keep on having fun. Like, I would have basically did that if I could. If I could talk to my younger self, that's the way I would have went, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, really would have. Really would have. Because I know that I loaned for whenever Boston was there, 2018. Probably one of the greatest hidden performances that I've ever watched. Man, look, I know Poppy didn't have the numbers, like the big numbers of some of the bigger hitters.
Yeah.
But dog, that what he did in the World Series, I don't know if we'll see that again.
Oh, no.
I don't know if we'll see that again.
I basically take your team up from 3-0 to.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. Because that one, 2018, like, this, it was the fact of, and look, I know Boston, I'm a little mad with y'all. You know, that Bookie got away. You know, I'm a little mad with y'all. But it is what it is. He's gone on to greener pastures, and I see his success over there. And I ain't hating. But, you know, every now and then I might pop me on the Dodger cap just, you know, show a little support. Oh my God, over there.
I don't blame you.
But man, it's sometimes, and I know sometimes some of y'all are like, why do these guys talk about baseball? Because we do love baseball.
I love me some baseball.
We love all of the sports, but we love baseball.
I can't wait to bring y'all like the kind of ideas that I have for like the MLB season. Like, we gonna basically do it up. Like, we're going to have some nice shit for y'all. Because the thing about it is, with baseball, it's very much like, you got people, it's a niche sport now, damn near. Like, it used to be America's pastime. It's now basically a niche sport. I still love the game. And for, like, what's coming up into this season, I cannot absolutely wait for the season to start. I can't even bullshit you, bro. I want this season to start right now. Because, like,
not to go off subject. But we were talking about this in our chat the other day. Do you realize baseball is the one sport that went international and they didn't change the rules like that?
I don't think
that we ever thought about it. But baseball went international and they didn't change the rules. Basketball went international and they changed the rules. They shortened courts. They moved lines. They moved the amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that for baseball.
Nothing. The only thing I could think is that basically baseball, I mean, granted, it came first here for basketball too, but like maybe baseball was just like, or people more were wanting to basically be what baseball is. Because I don't really know too much about the other rules in like, say, Korea, Japan, Australia, like those other ones. But it probably was like baseball was just like, dog, we'll settle what we want here. We ain't moving off. Like, we ain't moving off the spot. Like, y'all ain't.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't gonna outweigh us here. Yeah.
Because we got another thing that we're gonna touch on in another episode. If you guys haven't been paying attention to the NBA, what Silver's been saying about the time and stuff like that. And I made a couple blue sky posts about it. Yeah.
Ski.
Yeah. But basically, he's thinking about in the future of shortening the time and making it along a college game for 10-minute quarters where college has two 20-minute halves and taking off those 8 minutes. And somebody was like, well, if you do that, it could be better. And one person who replied to me made a good point. He said, maybe this would make the league more competitive. He said, because guys play 35 to 40 minutes now. He said, if the game is only 40 minutes, he said, wouldn't that mean that you maybe need either less star power to get through for four quarters? And it would maybe look to distribute all of the star power more equally, because now teams know that it's a shorter run. Because once I did the math on it, it was something like 13.6 games per team in time is what would be taken off of the court. Which is a lot of time. You may not think that it's a lot of time, but that's a lot of time over 82 games, because I watch on a nightly basis, LeBron clocks about 36 to 39 in a 48-minute game. If he can almost play that now, let's say if he plays 35 or 40, he's playing less time than what he would already play, but now the game is less time. So now you have to hit the right stuff. So it might make the game a little bit more competitive, because there's less time to mess up. You can't have all of those reserves out there, dudes who don't know what they're doing. You never know. This might work. But while I'm speaking on the NBA, I be on my transitions, bro. I just be on. We have to talk what we like to call NBA Purgatory Power Rankings, which is our versions of the best trades, the best trade assets on not so great teams. Okay.
Yep.
We have 10 teams that we want to talk to you guys about that we feel have good assets, but they're not on the best team. You know, number 10,
the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yes. Rob, I'm gonna let you take this one. What do you see on their team so good that could be trade worthy?
Not a fucking thing, really. Like, they got Jeremy Grant. They got, you know, Scoot, who I know is not going to get traded. And, you know, they got Anthony Simons. They got players that are there, but it's players that they chances are aren't going to give up. And the people that they do have, like a DeAndre Ayton, I don't think are wanted like that anymore. I mean, maybe Indiana's still like, we're going to make this happen, guys. But I don't know what it is. Like, they don't really have much there.
So I looked into it a little bit more. Denny is really good. Now, Kamara, he comes off the bench. He's a forward. He's pretty good. I'm going to say this. I'm not on the Scoot Henderson train as much, but I do like Shaden Sharpe. He can ball. He can flat out ball. Anthony Simmons can ball. Now, I'm going to give this DeAndre Ayton take, and I want you guys to take this with a grain of salt. Sitting here watching the Blazers game the other night, and he's playing. Watching Ayton, he's balling. Now, I pull these stats just so if you guys want to go back and fact check me, they can be like, he did or he didn't do this. Okay, last five games. 14 points, 15 points, 22 points, 21 points, 22 points. Okay? He's had 7, 13, 15, 14, and 8 rebounds. Okay? He's been playing about 33 minutes, 35, 37 at most. But he's played relatively solid. Okay? He's a piece that I see potential in, and I think he may be trying to find himself again. Because you're looking at a guy, he's only 26.
Yeah.
He's 26.
That's wild.
And I know not everybody may agree with me on this one, but I think he's one of those guys that if you can wrangle his mind and get him in the zone, he's worth more than what he's doing right now. I think he could be a double-double machine for you. And I think that he is somewhat of a valuable asset. I'm going to say him next to Denny, Anthony Simmons. Like I said, I love him. I love Shaden Sharpe. Those are the four pieces that I feel are like the most valuable there. It's just, you're going to have to figure out, they're like oranges. You want the juice about the goddamn orange, but you got to figure out which way I'm going to juice this orange to get this. That's how I feel
about them. That's true. Yeah, that's a good
point. That's how I feel about them. Now, number 9, the Suns.
Yeah, they ain't got shit, but got shit in, or they ain't got shit, but, like, they have shit that it's like, they either ain't gonna come off of it. My biggest thing, to be honest with the Suns, is when they gonna blow it up? Because the Suns owner has basically been having a short temper when it comes to, like, coaches, when it comes to, like, certain decisions. So when is it gonna get blown up? Like, when are they gonna basically trade KD? And because KD is getting up there, I mean, I don't think it's gonna be to where he's going to go to like a Lakers or something like that. But when is it going to be to where he's going to be like, you know what, KD, bye-bye, be somewhere else. Will he basically do that? I mean, I don't think he'll do that with Booker or something, but it's like, and he can't really do shit with Bill because Bill got all the cards for himself. But it's like, yeah, they have pieces like Bill, like Nurkic, who just got benched, apparently. Like, they have these pieces. Yeah, they have these pieces, but like, do they have wanted pieces, and do they have wanted pieces that can move on somewhere else and be a valuable member to someone else? That's why I got them in number 9.
Here's the thing, though, about the Suns. Do you chance KD going somewhere and pushing a team to the finals? Do you take that chance? Because he still has tread left on the tires, and he's still 20, 25 a night. Even at like 36, he's 25 a night. He's killing people. It's, where do I send him? Do I send him somewhere that he's going to do me harm, or do I send him somewhere where I can get something, but he's going to be happy? And where would that place be? That's the problem that I see with him. And Bill, the problem is, nobody wants that goddamn contract.
Not at his balance.
He wants to be in Miami, but Miami don't want him.
Or at least not for a big price.
Yeah. And Miami doesn't want to. I feel like, you know what may happen? And this may be one of those final hour type things. If KD gets moved, it could be for Jimmy Butler to go. And possibly be in Miami if they decide to move KD.
That would because be nuts.
Their owner, but their owner is temperamental. I hate to say this, as much as I do want a lot of money, I hope that I never have the temperament of some of these owners, because they blow shit up so fast. But I guess it's the fact of, I can do this. I own this. But if he decides tomorrow he doesn't want to deal with what's going on right now, I'll get up off of KD, which, like I said, you gotta be careful with KD, because he has a lot of tread left. He's still 25 a night. He can torch a team 40 or 50. He get going. Where do you send him? Because I think that's the one thing he's being cautious about. That's the one thing. Do I send him to LA and try to get like Austin Reeves and him? No. Could I send him to the Clippers? Clippers are still like number four in the West, number 4, number 5. Do I want to deal with James Harden getting his buddy there with him? Where can I send him and he's not going to do me harm, but I can get something back? That's a hard thing to do, but I could see that happening. That could be the lightning in the bottle move that says, you know what? I can't get rid of your ass, Bradley, but I can trade his ass because he ain't got no trade clause. Bring your ass, let's swap. Could be that simple, bro. It could be that simple. Now, let's go to number 8, the Magic.
So, I was thinking, like, when it came to the Magic, like, you know, Jonathan Isaac, you got one of the Wagners. Like, I don't think they'll trade him. You got the reigning, defending, undisputed slam dunk champion in Matt McClung. You know, like, you have assets there, but it's not really anything that you could basically be like, oh, shit. Magic coming down, we got to basically trade with them. Like, maybe they move on Wendell Carter. Maybe they basically move on, like, you know, Anthony Black or Cole Anthony. But, like, I don't think they have something that people are really going to seek. And so I don't see them as basically big players in the Magic in the trade deadline. But it's a fact of the matter of, yeah.
They have stuff that people will seek. It's people not going to give them what they want. Because people want Paolo. I'll take Paolo any day. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to pay the price for Paolo, and I don't think that you're going to pay the price for Franz, because Franz showed you whenever Paolo was out that he can help carry a team, and that's deadly. See, Magic, I hate to bring this curse on to y'all, but I got to say this, because y'all brought this curse on to y'all. Ever since y'all let the public decide if Shaq should have been there or not,
yeah,
y'all have doomed yourselves, yeah, with trades over and over and over again. And it started with that. Look, y'all might need to call Shaq in for a seance, okay? Because y'all had two great big men there. Tracy McGrady was there.
The big seance.
Yeah, Grant Hill was there. Y'all had a bunch of talent go through there and nothing ever pans out. And not to mention, Doc Rivers stopped y'all from getting Tim Duncan 1 year because he didn't want Tim family on the flight.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm telling you, bro, it's a curse over there. And they don't know it yet. It's a curse. Dwight Howard left. Shaq left. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get Tim. Mm-hmm. And he'll walk through there. You couldn't get Grant. Every chance you get a star, they go somewhere else. You fail a hole onto the talent. Granted, Dwight Howard got you to the finals. Shaq got you to the finals. Both big men left. Okay? Now you got two dudes who are really good on that team. Are you going to lose both of them? Because Paolo can ball. Franz Wagner can ball. Are you going to lose both of them to another team? I don't know. But history shows me that you lost these guys to bigger and better teams. And I'm going to blame that on y'all. I'm not going to put that anywhere else. I'm not going to put that blame anywhere else. Number 7.
All right.
The Raptors.
The Raptors got a nice little squad to them. They got RJ Barrett. You got Emmanuel Quickly. Like, what could a team want those kind of players for that? Like, this is where I think you get more of the upper end of, like, all right, this is the purgatory, like the good purgatory. Like, okay, they could get some pieces, hand them out, and basically get some stuff back for them that could help them in the future. But yeah, like it's I got them solid as 7.
Jakob Poeltl,
that's another one.
Yeah, he was a decently solid center. RJ Barrett, the guy from the Knicks. Scotty Barnes, he's really good.
Yeah.
You have pieces and the aforementioned Grady Dick, which the Grady Dick jersey swaps are incredibly funny. You have these pieces where, I hate to say it, Toronto, 15-33. I don't know what y'all want to do.
I don't either.
Y'all aren't the bottom. But y'all getting kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to try to come up off your young talent? Are you going to hope that you hit in the draft? Are you going to hope that you hit in free agency? Because I don't know if you have that piece to be able to see. Whenever you were winning and you got that ring, it was that you guys could get to the playoffs and you just couldn't get over the hump. Now we're not getting to the playoffs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to figure out how to get to the playoffs first, and then we could maybe see where we could go. They got some young talent, I think, could be moved, but I don't know if they're going to come up off them.
Yeah, I think they're just waiting to see how the Dick develops.
Yeah. I mean, look, you had to do it. I had to do it. Somebody was going to do
it. It was sitting there just kind of bulging out there. So I'm like, you know what? I might as well speak on it.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
pause.
Yeah, big pause. But 6, we got the Jazz.
Jazz got some pieces. Like, Jazz got some parts. It's just that nobody want to fucking go. So, I mean, like, it's really, that's really what it comes down to. Like, but they got assets. You know, they got Clarkson.
Yeah.
I don't know how they still feel about Lauri Markkanen. I know that they were bandying him about him and Kelsler.
Walker Kessler.
Like, they were bandying them about, and then kind of teams kind of went away because I think the Lakers were trying to get Kessler, and then that kind of went away. So, like, but they still got pieces, Colin Sexton. Like, somebody will come calling to this team to basically trade somebody for them. Hell, Miami. Because the thing about it is, like, Miami been trying to basically, I feel like they've been low-key threatening Butler. Like, hey, we'll send you to fucking Siberia. We did it before. Or we did it to other niggas, like. Like, see what happened.
This team has a button potential. Bryce Cinnabog is good. I watch him have good games. Keontae George is another one from Baylor. He's been balling on the slick. He really has. He's shown that if you let him start, he gonna go get some buckets. But that's another team that I feel like they're waiting to be purged to go back to the bottom of the barrel. Like, they're waiting for somebody to come take their talent, and they're like, okay, we're going to go back down again.
Yep.
Which is kind of sad to say, but it could happen. It could literally happen because they got Lauri Markkanen. And look, I'm going to say this. Right now, that trade with Lauri and Mitchell and all of that trade is looking really good for the Cavs at this point in time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's looking very good for the Cavs at this point in time. And it's making the Jazz look like I got screwed for peanuts. Like, I thought we were making a decent trade, and I got back peanuts.
Exactly.
He's like, I don't know how to deal with this. Now I got hit over the head, and I lost. But it happens. It does happen. And I think this is one of those, I got to deal with this. This is where I feel like these teams have really good pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just waiting to see who's gonna fly. Number five, the Bulls.
Zach LaVine. You got, Ayo Dosunmu. You got Lonzo Ball. I mean, Lonzo, I don't think anybody's going to really try to go after him for real, for real. But, like, they got pieces. Vucevic has been talked about in plenty of trades. Like, it's one of those teams where it's like, like they just said, like the Jazz, just waiting to be right and be picked out. They just, people just got talent in holding, in purgatory, just waiting to get picked to go elsewhere. And so we'll see what happens with this.
People don't realize Zach LaVine is 29. A lot of your NBA players are in their peak prime between about 27 to about 33, 34. He's there. At first, I thought the Nuggets were going to try to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking if the Nuggets get Zach LaVine, they might skyrocket with Jokic and everything else. This could be crazy for them. Then they didn't make the move. Who knows? They may make the move. Vucevic, first of all, Orlando, I don't know how you let him get away from you guys and then make his way to Chicago. I forgot whether it was via trade or whatever.
I want to say it was a trade.
Yeah, I want to say it was a trade. Matter of fact, I think it was Wendell Carter and stuff that was in that trade that wound up swapping them. I think it was.
Something.
But you let him get there. He's been a very solid player.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago. What is wrong with this team is they're up and down. And it's like, y'all haven't found a middle ground. You had the point guard. He was gone like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
He didn't play. He finally comes back. It's like, you've been making money on the sideline forever, doing whatever with your brothers, trying to get your life back together, trying to get your leg back together. Don't know how this is gonna go. But even though he's on like a minute restriction now and everything else, and he's 27, could he bounce back? Yeah, he could. How much value does he have right now? Not a lot. Cause he hasn't played. So what have you done for me lately, type league? He just getting back. He ain't done much of nothing. Okay. So that's another one. And I don't think that they're going to move off of Kobe White. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey's an enigma to me because he's another one up, down, up, down, up, down. Don't know what you're going to get for him.
Mm-hmm.
So Chicago has pieces. You just got to see what you want to plug, what you don't want to plug. Number four, though, the Atlanta Hawks.
Like, they still got, it's like, I could interchange them with the Bulls between 4 and 5. But, like, yeah, like, Bojan Bogdanović, like, well, can he basically be a piece that basically moves on? Clint Capella, DeAndre Hunter, like, can they basically be matched up into, like, a trade or something like that? Like, they feel like add-ons that basically can be moved at any given moment. Because, like, they're not good add-ons for the Hawks, I guess. But they might be good add-ons for somebody else, like, if this is distributed correctly. So, that's why I have them in number four.
So this is what I'm gonna say. I don't think the Hawks are gonna let DeAndre Hunter go. Jalen Johnson just went down for the season.
That's true.
Rich Rashard is there. He's been an awesome rookie for him so far. They're not gonna trade Trey. Trey ain't going nowhere. Bogdan, I can see him having to leave. They have so much. Him and Clint. Man, I hate to say this. You know what? Atlanta, try to do a trade with Portland. Go get Ayton and try to give up Bogdan and Clint if you can. Because Ayton could do well in a pick and roll system with Trey, because Trey throws lobs. Trey has become a tremendous distributor in the past few years. He passes the ball very good. He's very high assist count. He can go get a basket. The guy, recently he hasn't been high up on shooting, but his assists, 10, 9, 13, 9, he's there. He's going to pass the ball. He's going to get the ball out. He's going to get his teammates involved. He's got the young guys, Dyson Daniel. He's got Richard Shire involved. He's got all of those guys involved. Trey ain't going to move. They ain't getting rid of Trey.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be my Vince McMahon song go, a no chance. That's what you got now. That's the chance you got to get Trey Young from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're looking for a shooter, a big man at boards, I could see them too. Atlanta, I would say do a trade though. If you could get DeAndre Ayton away from them, I could see it happening. I could see that maybe bringing Atlanta up a big man who could shoot board, you know, stuff like that. He's a little bit bigger body than what John Collins was whenever he left from there. So I could see that actually working. Now the top three. One of these is going to hurt my heart here. Number three, the Kings.
De'Aaron Fox, who basically is just waiting on his ride, really. Like, that man is just waiting to fucking go. He basically is like, I've done all I could do here. I've caught a body that was Mike Brown's career. I'm ready to go ahead, peace out. Y'all feel like I should peace out. Like, let me just go ahead, be on somewhere. So that's a big piece. Granted, I don't see him as being moved up because I don't see that many teams wanting him like that. I know that it's been talked about with the Spurs, been talked about with the Heat. I know he wants to play with Bam, but it's still to the point of like, they'd have to give, it might be the Jimmy trade that they, what they're looking for, but I don't know what it's going to have to turn out to be.
So this is my one issue with him being moved. Look, and I'm not a Spurs fan. I shouldn't be speaking for all Spurs. They already said that Stephon Castle is the key to making this trade, okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Spurs, if you want to give your 7'4", 7'3" center a shot, okay? You want to give him a shot? You want to help him out? You want to see how far he could go next season or if they can make a run this season? You let Stephon Castle ass go.
Yeah. Jim,
I know y'all see the potential and he's getting 20 now and this, that, and other. Look, bro, you could say De'Aaron Fox may be slumping a little bit right now, but Stephon Castle ain't had no 40, 50 point games, bro. Stephon Castle ain't the fastest man in the league with the ball.
De'Aaron
Fox, you got to break eggs to make an omelet, Rob. You just can't throw them in the pan and they just cook themselves without breaking. It don't work like that.
But I guess my only question would be, do you see De'Aaron Fox being a complimentary piece to Wemby? Because that's what he needs to be. Like, I think that whatever, because I could see them basically staying with Castle because they like, he's a complimentary piece to Wemby. He's a better complimentary piece to Wemby. That's why they brought in Chris Paul to be a complimentary piece to Wemby. Can De'Aaron, I get what you're saying, like, as far as he will be a piece that can help them win. But the thing I've heard, you know, like people say, like he doesn't play winning basketball. And can he be that person that helps them play winning basketball? Because that's what the next step for Wemby would have to be as far as within his progression. Because Wemby's already there. Wemby's already like a defensive stalwart and can basically play offensively. He's great. He has basically the best chance to be the next best two-way player in all the NBA. But the thing about it is De'Aaron Fox going to be that dude that can basically be a complimentary piece to that?
And I challenge everybody who says winning basketball with this question. What form of winning basketball do you want? Because there's different forms of winning basketball. There's people who are passers. Mm-hmm. There are people who you need to be able to take over the game. Mm-hmm. There are people who you need to be, sometimes you just need flat out star power, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I look at the Spurs, their pieces do well. Their pieces play above where you think they should be at times.
Mm.
But what I see that caps them is the fact of they don't have, A, to me, a point guard that can score consistently. Chris Paul and got old. He only averaging like 8 points a game, you know. You could say, oh, I get my firepower from the bench. That's all bright and dandy until a team jump out on you like the 76ers did in that second game in France and say, I'm just not going to let you win today. Mm-hmm. And even though they beat on them the first game like that, the 76ers showed you that they can do the same thing to that Spurs team. And one thing I think would have helped with that is if you had somebody else out there who could constantly put the ball in the bucket, draw fouls. Being a distributor is cool. That's why in the beginning, whenever the Spurs were talking about trying to make a move at Trae Young, I was like, oh, if you can make that move happen, oh, you'll be in business. Because he can pass, he can go get a bucket. One thing people don't notice about Trae Young's footwork is immaculate. I know you want your child to be Steph Curry. Go watch Trae Young. Trae Young's handle, his footwork, perfect. To say he's a smaller guard, he does everything with a smaller body, and he does it extremely well. Because I know everybody wants their child, Steph Curry, he gonna shoot from half court. No, it's not happening like that. Trae Young can get to the basket. He can draw a foul. He can shoot a three. He can pass the ball really good. His fundamentals are extremely well. Now, that would have been the perfect move to me to put for the Spurs. But if you're going to have to give up some sort of scoring power, I think you got to get back some sort of scoring power. So I say if you make the Fox move, I know you don't want to come up off of Castle, but it's going to give Vasil and some of the other guys a chance to say, oh, I can score a little bit more, 2, 3, 4 minutes now that I'm going to get extra because he isn't here. I think you got to break eggs somewhere, Rob. And I think that in Spurs land, if you want to make that, are we going to the playoffs push? That's where it begins, right there. All-Stars ticking is on the way, baby. You got 30, 40 games on the backside that you can play. Go win them. Go win them. We've seen it a million times. People make that run after All-Star. They jump from the bottom of the barrel to middle of the pack, top half of the pack. And now it's playoff time, and it's time to ball. And I think if they could get De'Aaron away from them, you making that run. You might make that run and upset somebody this season. Because the NBA is in turmoil everywhere.
That's true.
Everywhere. So that's how I kind of see that one playing out. Now, number two, the Pelicans.
And it did pain me to basically put them there just because it was not me doing it against you, bro. It was me doing it just to be objective about it. Because we strive for objectivity on Broad Migos podcast. And I just really wanted to basically just bring them out. Because the thing about it is, you got Brandon Ingram. Everybody's been trying to seek. Everybody's trying to get. You got, you know, granted, Deontay Murray just basically went down. So they might be more apprehensive on giving up their pieces. But CJ is right there. You know, Zion. I don't know if anybody's going to really want Zion. But the thing about it is, it's like, it's got to come to a point where something's got to give. Because like, it seems like Zion keeps either getting in his own way. Or Zion is basically like, or it's something with the team. Like, something's not meshing to where this is working together. Because everybody always goes back to like, oh, well, what was the face he made when he found out he wasn't going to the Knicks and all that on draft night? With the lottery, whatever it was. But it's still to the fact of the matter of like, dog, you live in a nice city. Granted, Louisiana is Louisiana. But like, it's still to where New Orleans is a love, like they'll love your dirty draws. Yes. But he's never seemingly embraced it in the way that it should be embraced. And it's like, why? Like, why not? You know, like, and I don't know if he's going to be traded, but it seems like he's in a holding pattern. A, with his health, but B, is like, he's just in a holding pattern of not giving a fuck there.
Yeah.
And so, okay. Go ahead, bro.
First thing I'm going to say is this. I've said it once, I've said it again. Drew Brees came here and he turned Louisiana into his I'm never going to leave here. He got a string of restaurants that started here. Yes, they are. He won one title here. And he was set for life. Okay? Now, I know that that might be a tall task, Zion. But I feel like if you were the driving force behind one Pelican NBA championship, you set for life here. Because that city has never forgotten Drew Brees. And that title was in 2009.
Hell, if you were basically there for a deep playoff run, yeah, I think they'd still love your ass.
Exactly. Exactly. As far as assets, I don't know who would be willing to take him and what you would get. But Ingram, DeJounte, I don't really want to see go because I love his style of play. He's a defender that now he's starting to get buckets and he does so much. Now, there's one person, along with Brandon Ingram, I'm willing to put out there straight, baby. DJ, I know you may not like this, but I'm willing to throw you out there with Brandon Ingram if it's going to get me a hellified piece in New Orleans. And I'm explaining why. DJ, you have given me 50-point games this season, and you have also given me 8-point games, okay? You have given me some of the most diabolical 1-for-14 shooting 8-point games from 3 that I will never forgive, okay? I will never forgive. I'm just like, put the ball on the floor, CJ. And then 3 ain't dropping. Just put the ball on the floor. Try to get to the rack, draw up, eyes up, do anything. But then you have times where you hit one and then you hit the next 5-6 in a row. And it's like, man, whenever he's on, he's on. If I can package you and get something worthy to go next to Zion and DeJounte, I will happily come to New Orleans and help y'all pack up all this shit and usher him to the door. I know that sounds bad, but I need that and I need Zion to be healthy because I feel like we were number 4 at one point.
That's true.
And then Zion goes down and we're out. And we make the playoffs, Zion goes out. Okay? I need Zion to be healthy first and then I need them to either see where we're going to be as a healthy unit or start making the moves to push people out of the door because I feel like Trey Murphy has emerged. Trey Murphy is deadly. Okay? So I'm willing to get rid of Brandon and CJ because Trey Murphy just went for 40 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
8-12, 15-20. I was like, whoo. I like, CJ, that look like you're a playman right now. He's out here going nuclear. But he is also getting more time because, you know, DeJounte is going to be out and everything. So, hey, a lot of trade value in New Orleans. It just hasn't all worked together. Number one is the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
And some people may say, well, y'all could have put the New Orleans first. Okay, let me tell you something about the Nets. The Nets have talent. And not only do the Nets have talent, I want to say that Brooklyn has picks also.
I think so, yeah.
Brooklyn has Bojan, one of the other Bogdanovichs. I can see him getting moved. He's older. He got like a $20 million contract. Claxton, good center, 25 years old. He getting like $30 million. Cameron Johnson, 22 mil, 28 years old. I see a lot of value in him. The ostrich in the room, D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Will anybody ever want to take another chance at him?
I say it's a maybe. I mean, the fact that he went back to LA and, you know, he might just go back to the Warriors. Basically just one big circle surround.
D'Lo, you know, I'm going to say this. I think if they never get rid of him in Brooklyn the first time, I think he has a way better career than where he's at. But they wind up trading him. Granted, it was for KD. It's just, I toss your ass aside to KD. Let's be real. Let's be real. You're not KD, but you were really good whenever you're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will somebody ever take a chance on him? I don't know. Because he's like J.R. Smith. Whenever they own, they own. Whenever they ain't on, that light switch is broke. That light switch is broke. And you like, it was just working yesterday. It's broke today. Okay? I don't know what it is. And a perfect example of that is against the Knicks, he had 22. Miami, 22. Sacramento, 19. He got to Charlotte. What happened?
Like, just got lost. Didn't make it through customs.
Like, all of a sudden, the light, like I said, the light switch broke. What you mean is broke? It don't work. It don't work. And that's all it is to it. And you try to explain it. You shrug your shoulders and be like, but I do think that he has something left in the tank. He's only 28. He could go somewhere that needs a guard. He could play really well. I feel like he has to gain back the confidence that he has, because I'll say this. I've said it once and I've said it again, and I want to say Rob has been on the same page with me. Whenever you play with LeBron, he kind of pulls away from what you do good because he needs you to play a certain way.
Yep.
And you can't go against him because they're going to say, well, we put the money in him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at a bad cross. You have to try to play however he wants you to play. And LeBron just makes it so hard for you to be you. And I feel like people never recover. I feel like Kevin Love never recovered. D-Wade never recovered. None of these people ever recovered from playing with LeBron. The only person who's really been dominant next to LeBron has kind of been AD. You could say Wade in the beginning of the championship runs, but I don't feel like you ever really get back what you had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So in theory, maybe LeBron's like the monster of zapping talent from you in a way on the basketball court.
Patent pending.
Yeah. But it's so hard. It's so hard to play next to him. And I think D-Lo might need time to recharge. And maybe next season to be a better evaluation of what he could do. Maybe he might need another change of scenery. Maybe Brooklyn ain't going to do it no more. Maybe he's holding something in his heart and he don't know. I don't want to be it. They got rid of me anyway. Send me somewhere else. He might feel like that. Maybe he loves it and he just can't get it together. I don't know. But that's another team. A lot of talent. I could see going places. And we're not even going to talk about the aforementioned Ben Simmons over there, who's just making a mountain of money every year.
Oh, well. Oh, yeah.
And not doing
it. To do generally nothing.
Yeah. 6 points, 5 boards, 7 assists right now is what he's averaging. He's over there rigging in the money, baby.
Like, that check gonna clear.
Oh, he worried, my check clear? I bet. I'll be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, Ben, you don't want it? Nope. I'll be where I'm at. I'll be like, yeah, all right. Ben said he don't give a good goddamn. Oh, that check clear, baby. That's all he can. He said that former rookie of the year and all of that shit, all team defense twice and all of that. Don't matter no more. My mind is messed up. And it's so crazy for him because he's only in his 6th year. Huh? Dude is only 6 years. He's 28. Dang. I don't know what to say about you, man. But that wraps up our purgatory power rankings. Like we said, best trade assets, not so good teams. Now, before we get up out of here, we have to talk about this. I don't know who was paying attention earlier today. UFC was in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was UFC Saudi Arabia. Izzy got knocked. Imovov caught him clean. Some people are saying the stoppage happened too fast. I could see that.
Mm.
But he got hit clean.
Mm-hmm.
This makes 4 out of his last fights were losses. Last three straight have all been losses. Is it time for him to hang it up?
I think so. At least think it's time for him to basically think of plan B, because, you know, we talked about it before the show. His pops got his money straight, or at least that's what has been said. You know, like, usually guys, when they're up that well, like up to the mountaintop, like the way Izzy was, Kamaru Usman, Anderson Silva, like, these guys don't make it back. And it's hard for basically anybody like that to make it right back to the mountaintop. Like you said, 4 of his last 5 losses, 3 straight. Like, he could still do it for the cardio. He could still do it because it. But, like, the dominant champ that the style bender was, or the dominant fighter that the style bender was, I think that's long gone. I think he needs to basically look at plan B, look at basically what's next for it, for the style better. He's a great personality, yeah. Had great interests. I don't know what he is, like, if he could be a coach, if he could be something, that it's just something beyond. He's still young, I think. Like, he ain't that old. Or
yeah, AZ isn't that old.
Yeah, so I think he's somebody that basically, like, he needs, he can move. He's 35, actually. So he's pretty old, you know, for a fighter, you know. But like, yeah, it might be Jover, but for your boy, you know, like, I think he needs to look at Plan B.
Yeah, I feel like this is Izzy. Great watching, great name, great career. Yeah, you had a comeback whenever you beat Pereira at one point after you had lost him in kickboxing, and then you had lost the first time in the UFC. It just hasn't been there for him. He's 24-5 now. You lost to Imavov, who's now, you know, 16-4. You lost him, but it comes a time, I feel like, you have to kind of give it up. And I know many people will say, well, it's the beginning of 2025. He just beat Pereira 2 years ago. Well, almost 2 years ago. My thing is this. He lost in the second round TKO. Is it kind of controversial how you lost? Oh, some people have said that it was stopped too fast. He was trying to get his defense together. I don't know, because you have to, it's a fine line of protecting a fighter from himself and calling a match.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it was enough, in my opinion, to call it. You don't want a fighter to go out there and really get messed up too bad. They're money makers for the company. If you're a ref, this is something. They're money makers for the company, themselves, me. I don't need him to get overly messed up. I need to call this fight fairly. I know some people are saying he stopped it a couple seconds too soon. Okay, cool, whatever. He was down. Okay? You lost to Duplessis. You lost to Strickland. Not Imavov. It's three straight. Now, granted, the Strickland one was a decision, and it was kind of wishy-washy, but nonetheless, three in a row. Do I think maybe he should have one more? Yes, I think he should have one. If he can get the win, go out on top, 25-5, ride off into the sunset. You told us before, hey, look, your dad, he said in an interview, my dad quadrupled my portfolio. I'm good. I'm this, I'm that. Look. Take your money, go somewhere else at this point. Or take fights that can be entertaining, but you're going to probably get a win. Don't mess it up. I know I'm sounding like I'm telling him take the Floyd Mayweather route.
Right.
But this is kind of one of those things. Either do it one more time and go out on your merit and give it all you got and see if you win. Or take one that you feel like, hey, I'm going to really whoop his ass and go out on top and be done with this. 35. Probably made a good amount of money. You've been on top. You've been on the cover of UFC games.
Mm-hmm.
You've done all of this. Ride off into the sunset. Ride off into the sunset, bro. And that's how I feel about Izzy. I feel like it's probably time for him to just go ahead and shut it down. Don't be one of these dudes hang around forever. Don't do that. Don't hang around forever. Let the other guys take it. You let them do what they're going to do and let that be done with that. Now, with that being said, you already know, this is Bruh Migos Podcast. Remember, like, subscribe, share. We have a link tree. I'm going to start putting a link down in there so you guys can go to all our socials, everything that we have. We're even back audio for you guys that don't have time to watch the YouTube video. So everybody, you know, tune in, tell your friends about us. Anything you want to say, Rob, before we get out of here?
All right. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. I want you to tap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, Eli Manning ain't no Hall of Famer. The boy ain't shit. All right? Just do that for me. Like, just go ahead, tap your neighbor, and just basically say some shit like that. But yes, get us on Spotify. Get us on Apple Podcasts. Search Bruh Migos Pod. It'll be right up there. By the time basically it hits YouTube, be about the time that it hits the podcast. Hit us. Get us on the go. Get us in your ear holes, you know? Just basically, we ain't no ASMR, but we the next thing to it. At least that's what we'll say for right now for the interest of y'all need to go download our stuff. So, but yeah, hit us on podcast, hit us up on YouTube. We are here. Eyes, ears, everything. We hitting senses. We might be making food next. We'll see. But like, just hit us up.
Yeah. And that'll be all for us. You guys have a great one. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Amigos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.